Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to the CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Dr. Susan Burns, who's the sixth president at the College of Mount St. Vincent. Now, Dr. Burns is only the second president to be on the College Admissions Process Podcast. This is actually a follow-up to episode 126, where we had Andrew Curiel, who is an admissions officer from the College of Mount St. Vincent. He introduced me to Dr. Burns. And Dr. Burns, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you here today. How are you?
I'm so very wonderful. Thank you for the invitation. And I'm thrilled to be with you today and talking about these important topics.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. And so let's get right to it, Dr. Burns. I just want to start by asking you, can you share a bit about your own background and your journey leading up to becoming the president of the College of Mount St. Vincent?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. So I think it's important to start with the fact that I am a first generation college graduate. My father has some college, no degree, and my mother did not go to college. And so I am like many students who are navigating that journey with their families to try to decide where they want to go, what they're looking for in their college experience. And so I ended up at a mid-sized public institution in Emporia, Kansas. I'm a Kansas native. And I did my undergraduate degree in psychology, and I did a master's degree in experimental psychology at Emporia State University. And I thought I wanted to be a clinician when I grew up. I was going to help people with their problems. And then I quickly learned that there's so much more to psychology than being a clinician. And I actually, during my master's degree, had the opportunity to teach college classes. I taught general psychology while I was in my master's. And so I decided to get a PhD in a research field, personality and social psychology, had the opportunity to continue to teach while I was at Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas. And when I was finishing my degree, I was teaching large classes of general psychology, sections of 250 students. And students would come up to me on campus or in the community, and they'd say, "Hey, I'm in your class." And I'd say, "Hey, do you go to class? Because I'm not sure that I know who you are. I'm really sorry." And based upon that experience, I learned that I wanted to be at a smaller institution where I could really get to know my students. So after I graduated, I ended up at Morningside, now University, it was college then, in Sioux City, Iowa, as a faculty member, full-time faculty member, and really loved the opportunity to focus on being an excellent teacher, doing research with students, and serving a community that very much cared about their students. And so I was on the faculty, I earned tenure and promotion, and I had the opportunity from the Vice President for Academic Affairs to serve as a faculty mentor. And he said, "I think you might be interested in administration someday. Maybe you should try this out." And I laughed at him. I said, "Love teaching, love doing research. And so I'm not sure that'll be my path, but okay." And I loved it. I absolutely love mentoring faculty as well. And so the opportunity came to move into administration at that same institution at Morningside. And I became an associate dean for academic affairs and continued to teach and do research. And I actually earned full professor while I was in administration as well. And about week two as associate dean for academic affairs, the president came into my office and he said, "All right, what's your plan?" And I said, "I'm going to do a great job. I'm going to teach. I'm going to do research. I'm going to do this administrative thing." And he said, "No, you're going to be a college president someday. So what's your plan?" And it was something that I never imagined for myself. And I was so incredibly blessed to have him as a mentor, have the Vice President for Academic Affairs, Provost as a mentor. And I really got to see all the ins and outs of higher education across the institution. And so I was in that position for about 4 years and then was ready to move on. And so I very selectively looked for institutions of higher education that were small, private, liberal arts institutions. And I ended up on the other side of Iowa, in Dubuque, Iowa, at a Catholic university, Clark University. And I was their chief academic officer, their vice president for academic affairs, and was in that position for about 6.5 years. And towards the end of my time there, the president said to me, "I'm not trying to get rid of you, but I saw this job posting and thought of you. And It was for the College of Mount St. Vincent. And that led me on a path to the Mount. And a fun fact about my path to the Mount, my interview process started right as the pandemic started.
Wow.
And so my entire interview process was done online. And so I didn't step foot on campus before I accepted the position, but I fell in love with the community, the mission, the people. It was in such an incredible experience. And I said to my husband that if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be sad because these people are pretty incredible and this place is pretty incredible. And so it's been a journey, but a journey well traveled.
Well, they're definitely pretty incredible. And like I said, Andrew in episode 126 did a phenomenal job. But right now, I want to emphasize how important your overview was because you truly are a role model, first of all, for first generation students. You got your PhD, you taught for many years. And I love how you spoke about there was someone that tapped you on the shoulder, someone that saw something in you and said, I see you in administration. And it's because of that that you are now the president of the College of Mount St. Vincent. And I know that that's your philosophy to really, you know, expose the students to anything and everything and really help them to believe in themselves. That's what we got out of episode 126. And so what are some distinctive features and programs that set the College of Mount St. Vincent apart from other institutions, making it such an attractive choice for so many students?
Yeah. Well, we don't have time to cover all of the distinctive features and characteristics, but I want to highlight a few. So really very exciting. The Mount just recently was ranked number one by U.S. News and World Reports for social mobility in the regional colleges north.
Congratulations.
And thank you. That so speaks to how we live our mission and our values and how we transform lives when students come to us. So social mobility is a very distinctive feature, which is based upon the fact that we accept students from all backgrounds. We accept about 50% of our students, I would say, are Pell eligible. And so affordability and accessibility are primary priorities for this institution. We give very generous financial aid packages. We work very hard to make the Mount accessible to all of our learners. Another distinctive feature related to that, we were recently ranked by the New York Times for top U.S. colleges, selective colleges, for economic diversity in our student body, number four in the nation out of that ranking of 236 colleges and universities across the nation. So again, speaking to the fact that we welcome all dreams and we make this a possibility for students. The Mount is known for being Hispanic serving, minority serving. And on our Riverdale campus, it's beautiful 70 acres right on the Hudson River. You walk around, you'll see that we're a majority minority institution. And really, students see themselves at our institution because there's such great diversity. But we don't just recruit diversity. We recruit all. We recruit students who want to be part of an authentically inclusive environment. And so part of our mission statement talks about being authentically inclusive, understanding our commitment to our common humanity, our obligations to each other, and human dignity. And we really live that here at the Mount. So the Mount experience is this lived mission experience. Students often know us because we are very well known for healthcare. So nursing is our largest undergraduate major. We offer nursing at the undergraduate major. We offer a second degree career-changing nursing path. We also offer a master's in family nurse practitioner. And last fall of 22, we entered our first cohort of physician's assistant students. And so we are the first registered physician assistant program in the Bronx. And so healthcare is something that we're very well known for. But what it's important for people to know is that we have the full array of liberal arts and sciences, professional programs, undergraduate programs, graduate programs, programs online, partner pathways. We have this real rich diversity of our programs. We're also known for the co-curricular and extracurricular experiences we offer students. So we have fantastic athletics. We have fantastic student organizations. And we really strive to make both the students who live on campus and the students who commute to campus feel like they're a part of this wonderful community.
Well, we really appreciate that overview. I didn't know that you were number one in social mobility, 50%.
Yes.
Pell eligible. You talked about the affordability and the, how it's paramount to your mission and philosophy, inclusivity, diversity, healthcare fields, and of course, all the co-curricular activities, not to mention the many programs that you offer in your actual classroom. So again, we appreciate that overview. And Dr. Burns, what other academic and extracurricular opportunities are available to students at the College of Mount St. Vincent, again, both inside and outside of your classrooms?
Absolutely. And I do need to note as well that we are also about 50% first generation students on this campus as well. And many of our employees also, and again, as I mentioned, myself included, are first generation. We have a lot of different academic and extracurricular opportunities available to our students. And so academically, we have, again, the full array of programs. Top majors beyond nursing include psychology, sociology, our sciences, biology, chemistry, biochemistry are very popular majors. Business is a popular major. And so students can come to the Mount and not be afraid of whether their program is going to exist. Many institutions of higher education right now are talking about cutting programs, especially in the humanities. Mm-hmm. We are not cutting programs. We still are thriving in these different areas. And so if a student wants to come to the Mount and major in Italian, they have the opportunity to come and major in Italian. Or if they want to major in nursing and do a certificate in Spanish for healthcare, they can do that at the Mount. So we provide, again, a full, holistic, well-rounded academic opportunity. Outside of the classroom, there are so many different ways that students can get involved. We have phenomenal student organizations. Our Student Government Association is rich with opportunities for students to get involved. Drew Curiel, who was on your podcast before, he was in admissions, but we moved him from admissions and beautifully have made him the director for our Center for Leadership on campus. And our Center for Leadership is an opportunity for all of our students, not just a particular major, but for all of our students to develop and learn more about their leadership abilities and how to articulate what they've done already as student leaders. And what do they hope for to be student leaders in the future or be leaders in the future? It's also an opportunity to network with individuals from all kinds of professional fields. So we have this advisory council who brings in this incredible array of speakers from all across all kinds of different professions for the students to learn more about what opportunities exist and then connect them to internships and to employment, either while they're doing they're here in school or after they graduate. We also have, outside of the Center for Leadership, another opportunity for students to express the ways in which they are more than just an academic. We could be a student athlete. We have a rich array of athletic programs for women and men and non-binary, all defining on our campus. And so students can get involved. We are NCAA D3. And a part of the Skyline Conference. And the Skyline Conference is a fantastic conference that has a kind of tight region in the New York City region of schools that provide really wonderful competitive opportunities. And we really are pleased to show up and do well in that conference. And so we've got fantastic athletic opportunities. If students don't want to compete on a team, they can be involved in intramurals on campus. We have several different student dance groups on campus that are so much fun and so serious. They take it very seriously. And so I think we have five different dance groups on campus. And for those who are interested in the arts, not only do we have academic programs in the arts, we also have a conservatory on campus where students can take lessons, either vocal or instrumental lessons, or they can get involved in ensembles on campus. We have a CMSV Conservatory Community Choir that my husband and I actually are members of as well. So you can come sing with the president at the Mount, at the Conservatory Choir. We also have a cappella choir and opportunities to take some classes in music as well. We don't have a full music academic program, but there are great ways to get involved if music is your thing too. And so we have, again, so many in the classroom, outside of the classroom, internships, student organizations. We don't only just serve our students who, again, live on campus. We love our residential students, about half, a little over half of our students are residential on campus. But we also have a really intentional commuter assistant program as well. So new students have the opportunity to learn what experiences they can get involved with peers who serve as commuter assistants to help them get engaged. And so all kinds of opportunities to really be a part of this community.
Well, that's a great overview. I didn't know, by the way, that 50% of your students are actually first generation. I know you mentioned that you're first generation. Yes. So was I.
Oh,
lots
fantastic.
Of flexibility. Yeah, yes. Lots of flexibility in terms of your academic opportunities, your co-curricular programs. You mentioned the advisory council and your center for leadership, along with your great athletic programs. And I didn't know that you also have a conservatory, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
It truly sounds like there is absolutely something for everyone. Now,
absolutely.
I know in my conversation with Andrew, we spoke a lot about the application, but I just want to touch upon it a little bit with you because I know that we went really deep in it in episode 126. So Dr. Burns, can you tell me about the fact that, you know, many students and their parents, they're curious about test optional policies. Can you discuss your college's stance on standardized testing in the admissions process and where do you see it going over the next couple of years?
It's a great question. And I'm going to answer this in two ways. First, as a president of a college, but also as a psychologist. And so as a president of the college at Mount St. Vincent, I can say to you that we are test optional in that even before the pandemic, especially during the pandemic and since, we have said we know that testing can be difficult. We know that there may not be accessibility to testing. We know that some schools provide opportunity for testing and support for that. Some do not. And again, we welcome students of all backgrounds. And so we want to be really mindful of availability and access to testing. And so prior to my arrival, I came to the Mount in January of 2021. Prior to my arrival, my predecessor and administrative team decided that test optional was a good option for our students. Now, students could submit tests if they want to, but that isn't required. We do encourage nursing majors, students who want to major in nursing, to submit their test scores just so we can see what's going to be the best support and path for them in math and sciences as they enter the Mount, but it's not required. We, as an institution, again, focusing on welcoming all, really want to think long and hard today and into the future about what do standardized tests tell us? And now as a psychologist, I will tell you that standardized tests are flawed. Yes, they absolutely can predict to some extent students' achievement and students' aptitude. And we also know that standardized tests based upon the research are systemically flawed and biased. And so when I think about being the president of an institution that's Hispanic serving, minority serving, and some of our students come from fantastic high schools, some of our students come from high schools that are not well resourced. And so knowing that those systemic structures may have an impact on a student's ability to perform, or the students maybe didn't have the opportunity for test prep, I want to be very mindful of how that puts a pressure on the student and on the family that's, in my opinion, undue. And so as a person who had to take a standardized test to get into college when she went to college, and I was a great student in class, but my test scores were so-so on standardized tests, I can absolutely appreciate that, you know, it is a predictor, but it's not the predictor.
Well, I really appreciate that because it's the first time on the podcast that we're actually getting a psychologist perspective on it. And I love how you talked about the fact that, yes, standardized tests, they are flawed, but they're also not available or accessible
Absolutely.
Everywhere. So I appreciate that piece. And I love the fact that you're very mindful of your students and their families, which leads me to another question about financial aid. So Dr. Burns, what financial aid and even scholarship opportunities are available to your students, of course, at the College of Mount St. Vincent, to help make sure that their education is affordable?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, affordability and accessibility are priorities for our institution. So 100% of our undergraduate students who come to the Mount receive some kind of institutional aid. Now that aid may be based upon merit. So we have academic scholarships based upon performance in high school. We have some need-based scholarships that are funded in part by the generosity of alumni and friends of the college. We have incredibly generous donors who prioritize students' having access to a Mount education. We also have some specialized scholarships, and I'm certain that Drew gave much more detail about those scholarships, but I'll highlight a few. So we have the scholarship that is called Seton Leaders in Service, named after Elizabeth Ann Seton, who was the foundress of the Sisters of Charity of New York, who was the foundress of the College of Mount St. Vincent. So we have this respect for Elizabeth Ann Seton and honoring her as well in our relationship with the sisters. We know that many of our students have a heart for service. And so the Seton Student Leaders in Service Award is for those students who have shown already in high school and before that they want to give back to their communities, broadly defined. They may volunteer in their schools or in their churches or in their communities, and they have a desire to continue to do that when they go to college. And so the Seton Leaders in Service have the opportunity to apply for that scholarship. And if awarded, they are given room and board at no cost to them.
Wow.
And so it's not directly to the tuition, but they're getting some assistance from tuition from their alumni and friends awards, their merit awards, and so forth. We also have a Fonthill Scholars Award. We have a castle on our campus, if you've never been, the Fonthill Castle, that was actually built by a British actor before the Sisters of Charity purchased this beautiful space and place that we share with them on this campus. The Fonthill Scholars Award is based upon writing. So students submit writing responses to writing prompts, and then they've received some scholarship awards towards that. We have awards in the sciences. So if students have interest in an academic ability and financial need, they can apply for these awards as well. We have a scholarship that's named after Corazon Aquino, former president of the Philippines, who is a Mount alum. The Aquino Scholarship, which is a full tuition scholarship. So we have many different scholarships. One other scholarship that I'm really proud of that we don't talk a lot publicly about because there are often stigmas associated with this, but the College of Mount St. Vincent has a scholarship program that's called the Mott Street Scholars Program. The Mott Street Scholars Program is named after one of the sisters' first ministries in New York. When they came to New York from Emmitsburg, Maryland, they established an orphanage on the corners of Mott and Prince in New York, the streets Mott and Prince. And the Mott Street Scholarship Program at the Mount is for students who've persisted through homelessness or foster care, whereby the Mount becomes their home 4 years, 365 days a year. They take their federal student loans, and then everything else is covered. So tuition, room, board, fees, insurance, books, computer. It's a beautiful, beautiful lived mission of this institution that is funded by the generosity of our friends and donors, our alumni friends and donors.
Hey, podcast friends. If you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process. Well, that's an amazing overview. I didn't know that 100% of your students receive aid. You mentioned so many academic, but also need-based scholarships, the Seton Student Leader in Service Award, and so many others. Yeah, thank you so much as you explained in detail how you support a diverse student body, including first-generation college students and, of course, underrepresented minorities. So thank you so much, Dr. Burns. We appreciate it. And could you share perhaps some examples of successful alumni and the career support services offered to the students as they prepare for life after graduation?
Absolutely. So I will also say that as we think about scholarships, as we think about financial aid, I want to take just a quick moment to acknowledge that the FAFSA is changing. Mm-hmm. And students and families, please talk to your high school counselors about the new FAFSA that's supposed to be released in December of 2023. We are paying attention to that. And we know that when students fill out the FAFSA, their families fill out the FAFSA. We are here to help them both in English and Spanish if they need support. And we also want them to fill those FAFSAs out because it allows them to get access to additional aid, be it Pell funding or state funding or opportunity program funding. So it's really very important that they take advantage of those opportunities and complete that FAFSA. When we look at our successful alums, I would say every alum of the Mount is a successful alum because they've committed to themselves. They've committed to understanding that their education is not just for themselves. It's for the communities in which they're going to live and serve, their families and the generations that are going to follow them, and the ways in which they've learned not just how to get a job, but how to have a career, how to have a fulfilling life. So every Mount alum is a successful alum. But I would say probably the most notable alum I already mentioned, Corazon Aquino, is a graduate of she's now passed, a graduate of the College of Mount St. Vincent. And although I never had the opportunity to meet her, I have had the opportunity to speak to some of her classmates, believe it or not. And they are so proud of the ways in which when she was a student, very typical of our students today, was so committed to social justice, so committed to fighting structures and systems that do not serve us well. Mm-hmm. And so she's a beautiful example of a Mount education. We are really focused on providing our students, all of our students, support and preparation for career in life. And so we have this beautiful program that's called the Oxley Integrated Advising Center, where every undergraduate student who comes to the Mount has two advisors with them during their journey at the Mount. They have a faculty advisor in their academic major, and they also have a professional advisor from the Oxley Integrated Advising Center. Now, the Oxley Integrated Advising Center has professional advisors who not only help students walk in the path of selecting courses and things like that, but they also are great resources for them when it comes to finding an internship, looking for career development opportunities, working with the Center for Leadership on ways in which they can develop their skills and abilities to prepare for that internship, to prepare for that next career. And when students graduate, we have a rich alumni relations office that works very hard to connect students and graduates with each other, to connect them with, again, job opportunities. We have a software program that's called Handshake, where we have the opportunity for people to put their information in to look for jobs, to look for internships and so forth. And Drew Curiel, again, beautifully as director for the Center for Leadership, has created a LinkedIn group for our students and our alums for job postings and opportunities to stay connected in that space as well. And so we say to our alums, you're always welcome home. The Mount is a home for you. You've had an experience that we have invested in while you're here. And we want you to know that we're invested in staying in touch with you and supporting you on your journey. And as you find success, because our Mount alums find success in lots of different areas, many, many different areas, as they find success, to remember your home, because you can serve as a mentor to our current students. You could serve as a resource or a network for our students as well.
Well, I think that's absolutely beautiful how you cultivate the relationships with the students when they're on your campus. Two advisors for each student, helping them with internships, skill development, and of course, preparing them for their future careers. It's also important, as you mentioned, with the alum, to welcome them back. Perhaps they could be mentors. So it's really a beautiful family that you're fostering there at the College of Mount St. Vincent. Thank you so much for that overview. This has been a tremendous conversation, Dr. Burns.
Absolutely.
But before I get to my last question, I need to ask, is there a question that I didn't ask or a topic that I didn't bring up that you wish I had? In other words, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share it if you wish.
Yeah, so I would say that in my world as a college president, I often read about, hear about, and talk about how in higher education right now, there's a lot of doom and gloom in that there are colleges and universities, small and large, who are facing challenges with enrollments or challenges with finances and are facing some difficult decisions about how they're going to move forward into the future. We know that there are going to be fewer traditional age college students coming up on this demographic cliff of 2025, 2026. And the institutions who have not planned accordingly for that are really trying to figure out what they're going to do. And I'm so proud and so pleased to say to you that the College of Mount St. Vincent is not one of those institutions. We are in a moment of thriving. Our enrollments have continued to increase. Our finances are solid. Our pathways to a Mount degree have become increasingly diverse in that we, again, offer this beautiful traditional undergraduate experience, but we also offer so many other paths to Mount degrees, be them undergraduate or graduate degrees, and we look forward to that continued success in the future. But I would say the other piece of the doom and gloom in higher education right now is people questioning the value of higher education. And obviously, I'm biased. I've committed my life and my career to the value of higher education. And I'm also very supportive of there are lots of ways to learn. And students should take advantage of those ways to learn, be it doing a certificate online or doing some kind of apprenticeship program. And I would say college is not for everyone. And knowing yourself, knowing whether you want to commit yourself to that learning experience is really important, because we want to make sure that you're making good use of the investment you're making when you decide to go to college. And at the same time, I believe firmly that college is not just about the classes you take. It's about the discovery of self. It is about the ability to learn how to critically think, how to communicate effectively, how to understand and work with people. And so for those who are questioning whether there's value in that, please hear me when I say there's absolutely value in that. It's not just about, again, that first job. It's about the career and life that higher education can provide you, and it's transformational.
Well, that's beautifully said, and it's definitely transformational. Like I said earlier, being a first-gen student myself, you know, my parents, I'm sure as many other parents, came to this country not speaking the language to give us the best that they could. So I just think that it's really important to pay it forward. And Dr. Burns, the way you explained all the great programs that you have inside your classrooms and beyond, it's truly been an inspiration. And I'm so glad that I had you on this episode. I can't thank you enough. And unfortunately, it does lead us to the last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide a high school student and their parents who are early in the stages of preparing for the college application process?
That's a great question. And you're putting me in a difficult spot choosing just three. I mean, I could give you pages and pages of advice, but I would say probably my first piece of advice is to take your studies seriously. In high school, it's important that you stay in it to win it to the very end. And I am the mother of three kids who are not kids. I've got a 25-year-old daughter who has completed her undergraduate degree and is working on a master's. I have a 23-year-old daughter who's a college graduate and is now teaching. And I have a son who is a senior in college right now. He's 21. And I remember those days as a parent where my kids were like, yeah, why am I doing this? Commit to your experiences, educational and co-curricular. Do the things that you love. Take advantage of the opportunities in high school as well. And really make the most of that high school experience, because we will want to hear about that when you're thinking about college, because we want to get to know you. We want to know not just how you performed in your classes, but how have you engaged? How have you invested in yourself while you're in high school? So I would say students, study hard. Parents, encourage them to study hard and keep them focused on that goal of completing high school, because that's a really important goal. And so that would be piece number one. Number two, as you were starting the college journey, trying to decide what's right for you, I would say explore widely. So when students come to the Mount, prospective students and families come to the Mount, I say to them, if you don't want to be known, the Mount is not the place for you. We really get to know our students. If you want to be a face in the crowd, maybe a larger public institution is where you want to go. If you want to have access to D1 athletics, we're not the place for you. So really try to explore a large variety of educational options. There are community colleges, there are trade schools, there are small schools, there are big schools, there are public schools, there are private schools. There are a lot of different kinds of schools. And so I would say really start with the big questions of what are you looking for in your college experience? Now, parents, this is easier said than done. It's their journey. They need to make those decisions. And even though I may want certain things for my student, my son or daughter, it's important for them to try to figure out those things. You can absolutely be there to support them. You can absolutely ask additional questions. And whether you have gone to college or not as a parent, it's important to give them space but support in that journey. And the final piece of advice I would say in the journey is really, when you get to the place that you really think that this is where you want to go, ask so many questions. Ask questions about the academics, not just what programs they offer, but what kinds of opportunities within those programs. Do they offer undergraduate research? We do. Do they offer study abroad experiences? We do. Do they offer opportunities for service? We do. I mean, ask all kinds of questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because not asking questions puts you at a disadvantage. And it's hard to make an informed decision if you haven't asked the questions. And so I often say to prospective parents, ask the questions you think that your son, daughter, student is going to be embarrassed by. That's okay. Ask those questions too. How do you fill out the FAFSA? If this is my first generation student, are there additional scholarships available? You know, really asking those questions and listening to the answers. Don't just ask them. Make sure you listen to the answers as well, would be my advice. There are no bad questions. And really, if someone tells you, wow, that's a terrible question, then they're not the place you need to be. Because all questions should be asked. Absolutely.
Well, that's tremendous advice. And this has been a terrific conversation, as I knew it would be. Dr. Burns, I can't thank you enough. And I'm so happy, as I know that this is going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate through the college admissions process. I do hope to have you again. You were awesome.
Happy
thank
to.
You so much.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And parents and students, good luck. Good luck.
That's right. It's an honor and pleasure to have had you. And to all the students and parents, good luck with your journeys out there. Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Thank you for listening to the College Admissions Process Podcast, presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to PrepExpert.com to guarantee your child's success.